Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. 1 Timothy 6 tells us to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let's listen as Pastor Joel continues the teaching series, Fighting to Finish, Winning at Spiritual Warfare.
Let's go to our Bibles. I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa, take us to 1 Corinthians 12 and read verses 12 to 18 and see if this makes sense to you all.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 18. For as the body is one and have many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an ear, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, and the body just as he pleased.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Does that make sense? Yes. Do we see how we're all related, all connected? Okay. That's what the scripture is saying. Okay. We learn the importance of the body of Christ operating as a unit, yet the body of Christ, even the churches individually, are made up and comprised of different people in the body. It's like we're all pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, and together we complete the picture. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's how we do. With each piece put in proper place. By who? God put us in place. God put each person in place for this time and this season of our lives in a specific church. Okay, that's what we're talking about, all right? In order to form a complete picture or puzzle, he's going to use this piece of artwork his way. That's what we need to think about. Do you see what I mean? Another example would be to compare a church to a team, right? I know this is sports season. I know a lot of people get tired of hearing about sports, but there's a lot in sports that relate to the word, especially the church. It really is. The concept. A team such as a sports team is made up of players, people, right? They come together for a common cause. Is that right? Can't take that away from sports. I know some people don't like it, but that's true. You can't do it by yourself. I don't care how good Steph Curry is. Can't do it by himself. I don't care how good Kevin Durant was, couldn't do it by himself. Almost, but he couldn't do it by himself, right? Boy, it's bad, I'm telling you. But wasn't that good, okay? Now, but this is the thing. In that case, what I'm about to tell you ought to make real good sense to us. If you're on a team, then you must be what kind of player? Team player, thank you. Okay, church, I'm glad y'all said that, because if y'all didn't, I said, oh, man, Lord, what do I say now? All right. That's right. We have to be team players, okay? And I know that we understand that, because if we understand what it means to be on a team, then you know that you're required to be a team player. That's it, church. That's the answer right there. We're required to be team players. It's not about any one of us. It's about the team. It's about the reason that we're together, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And it follows that if you're in church, then you are to be on in that same concept. You ought to be a team player in your church. All right. And I know that's right. I know you all understand that. Let me see if I can make this even clearer. The body of Christ is similar to the body of Christ is similar to the NFL, the National Football League, right? In the National Football League, each team operates according to the standards of the league, right? Each team is a member of the league. They go by the same rules, right? But they run different plays, don't they? Huh? 49ers run a different plays that they have different players, so they run their plays by the players they have. They're different than the Raiders. The Raiders are different than the Rams. So, but they go by the standards of the league, right? Well, that's how the church is. We're all in the league. We're all in the kingdom of God. But each church runs their own plays sent down from the owner, who is God, for this team to work this thing in this team, this church, different than the other church. Not a different doctrine. We use the same doctrine, the same rules of the kingdom of God. But we have different plays sent in by the owner of the league, who is God through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? That ought to clear up anything anybody doesn't understand about why we go to church and why we go to a certain church. Because if the hand is not the foot and the foot without the eye and the body without this and that, how can we run the plays that God has for us? That makes sense, right? Who's sleepy in here? Give me some sleepy people up here. Give me two or three people. Come on, Andrew. Come on. Come on, Brother Larry. Come on. Come on, Carrie. You're not sleepy, but come on up here. I'm going to show y'all how this works. This is my team. One thing you got to do before you get to play is what? What do they do? Huddle up. Let's get in the huddle. All right. When I say break, we're going to clap our hands, and then y'all go right back there. Okay, break. Y'all step up there. All right. Don't go to sleep. Hold on. No, don't run yet. You're offside. Come on back up here. Turn right here. Easy, Tiger. Easy. Wait till the ball snaps. Now, when I snap the ball, y'all just step down over there and just turn around, look at me. Step down easy. Ready? Hey! Y'all step on down. Step down. Turn around, look at me. All right. I got three people to throw the ball to. Okay? This is the way it works. Of course, y'all know that's my Tiger right there. So I'm going to throw the ball to Karen, and Karen's supposed to take it and go with it. Okay, Karen, now you sit down. Have a seat. Thank you. Y'all come on back up. Yes, have a seat. Now we show up on the field to play the game, and we say, huddle it up. So wait a minute, where's Tiger? Where's Tiger?
Tiger
didn't show up?
Tiger ain't here.
Tiger got a headache?
Tiger's tired.
Did y'all know? Did Tiger call you? Did you call anybody? All right, y'all going out there anyway. Sit, hook, y'all go. I got to use one of them. Okay. So have a seat, Andrew. Don't go to sleep. Come on back up. All right. Huddle. Wait a minute. Where's everybody else?
Everybody else got hurt.
Everybody else hurt? Tired. Tired? Sleep? Sick? Backache? Headache? Okay, me and you, baby. Going back out there. See it, heck. Okay. Have a seat. Don't go to sleep. You get my drift? Pretty soon all you guys are quarterback holding the ball. Where's everybody, church? Where's the church? How can we do what the Lord has said for us to do? How can we win the game? Now, football teams compete with one another. We ain't into competition with churches, okay? But we're still pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, right? As Paul says in Philippians 3:14. So we're trying to do this thing, and we are doing what the Lord wants us to do, but we need all hands on deck. Amen? I'm saying the same thing. That's the same thing that Pastor Annalisa has read. But sometimes when you get a look at it, you really see what's going on. Amen. And this is for people that are watching this. Your church, our church, any church, we need hands on deck. We need people that are going to show up. We need people, if you're injured, okay. My coach used to tell me, You know, I've been knocked out of you. Well, yeah, I've been sort of knocked out a couple of times, and I've knocked some people out. But the point is, if you're hurt, you don't play. If you're injured, you get up and you shake it off. We got to learn to shake some things off with the devil. I'm not talking about injuries, but we got to shake off some things like depression. We got to shake that off because we can overcome those things. We got to shake off apathy. We can overcome apathy. Okay, we got to shake off pride. We can overcome pride, and we can show up and we can fight this demon, because there's a battle going on, but we need all hands in the huddle. We need people to show up and run the plays that God has given us. We got this whole playbook right here to learn. We got play after play after play, but what good is it if we won't run the plays, right? Does that make sense? All right, so Pastor said, we don't have anybody to run the plays. Well, I imagine you could get the ball up and throw it real high, run out and catch it, run a touchdown, pat yourself on the back, do an air bump. You can't do a chest bump. You got nobody. Go back to the whole coach. Lord, I'm ready for another one. I mean, but we shouldn't have to do that, y'all. We shouldn't have to do it. You know, we should be able to rely on the church because we're one unit and we're one accord doing what we need to do. It should take an act of God to keep us from coming to get this word. This is how important this is for us to be now. See, we're not and I pray that you all are out there the same way. I don't consider us a church that's just playing church. The reason I'm pastoring is because these are my orders. I have to do this, y'all. I have to do this. If the Lord told me tomorrow, you will not pastor anymore, go. I would say, Lord, what do I do? What do I do with the rest of my life? I don't know. Go start a business. I have to see. I don't even want to do the things I used to do anymore. I can't do them because I've been called by God to do this. So I expect the church. Don't fool around with it, y'all. If God called you to a church, be with that church. If he called you to be a member, be a member. If he called you to stand in, stand in. But please don't play with this thing, because those demons are serious. I'd rather you go somewhere and find out where you're supposed to be than to play with this thing. You see what I mean? But if God has called you and you believe on the Lord and you believe in him, we've got to put him first. We got to show up for God, not for me, but for God, okay? He's the owner, okay? We got to be team players. And we're doing this for the Lord to get to where we need to be, amen, as unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what it means. This is how we excel. This is how we battle demons. This is how we put demons to flight, by standing in. This is how soldiers win wars. Soldiers band together, one unit, one platoon, one battalion, and they band together with a concerted effort to do what their commanding officer tells them to do. Now, who is your commanding officer? You know it's Jesus. And that's what we have to do, because we're at war. Is that right? Of course we are. Some of you are fighting off some things, and I understand that. But don't forget, we got to be fully engaged in what to do when it comes to spiritual warfare. Guess what? You got to be engaged for spiritual warfare in the church even before you come in the church. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You got to be engaged for spiritual warfare in the church before you even set foot in the church. That makes sense, huh? When we show up and arrive at church, we ought to have enough church in us to get us to church and through church. Yeah? Does that make sense? Did y'all hear that? We ought to have it in us, okay? We ought to have it in us. You know why? Because we are the church. We are the church. Now, all that means is that as integral pieces, players on God's team, we need to do what players do. What do players do day in and out?
Practice.
They practice. Y'all got it. Y'all not asleep. They practice, right? They practice on the field. Do they practice in the rain? Yes, they do. Is some teams playing today in the snow?
Yes,
they are. Pastor Annalisa, we watched the news the other day, and something came on and showed these college players playing in the snow. She said, is that snow? I said, yes. It's snow. And she said, and they're playing in it? I said, Pastor, where were you when I played ball? I played in the snow. You sat in the stands and watched me in the snow. She had forgotten that. But you know what she said? All those people are sitting in the snow watching a game? She said, will they show up for Jesus like that? That's what she said. That's right. Players practice in the snow. Will we do that for Jesus? Will we show up and when it's spiritually raining in our lives? When there's a blizzard in your life, will you show up? When there's a storms are set upon you and your family, will you give him the praise and the glory? That's what he wants. That's spiritual warfare. See, that game was a physical game, but we're talking about spiritual warfare, right? So just keep these things in mind because, see, we all, any one of us or all of us can get down today. Something could happen to just really take us down. Thing is to get back up, amen? Thing is to get back up. You get knocked down in football and boxing and sports and spiritual warfare. The devil will hit you so hard you don't want to get up, but you know what? When you get back up and you get with your teammates and they say, huddle it up, ha! And you say, how you feel, champ? Let's run that play again, okay? And we run that thing again. This is what God is talking about. It's what he's looking for, those who will press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what he's talking about. Because oftentimes the devil will get us he doesn't want you to be a team player. He wants you operating as an independent contractor. Huh? That's what he wants. He wants you to, that means operate by your own desires. Do what you want to do, right? He wants you to be a lone ranger. I want you to think you can get by yourself. Huh? I told y'all about the little dog I had named Freddy. We called him Freddy because he was like Freddy Krueger. He was a little terror. He was a little shih tzu, a little furry, looked like a little mop. And my big dog named Bear would look just like a bear. Bear was a 130-pound Rottweiler with a head about that big. Only thing was, Bear was younger than Freddy. I had Freddy first. Freddy was an old man at 4. Bear was about 1, a year old. Bear was already 120-something pounds. So that little dog didn't care how big Bear was, and he would attack Bear. He would jump on him and take his food. It was so embarrassing. Bear was so big and nice. He just let the dog take his food, and the dog bite him on the chest, hop up. Had to hop up to bite Bear. Hop up and grab him in the chest and just hang off his chest. And Bear would knock everybody down just trying to get away from the little dog, trying to knock him off of him. And I would scold Bear. You don't take that, Bear. Don't you take that. You bite him. Ah, bite, fight, fight. Bear wouldn't do it. But one day, Freddy messed with Bear when Bear hadn't eaten. And Freddy used to take his food. Freddy would eat his food out of his dish. And Freddy, this was the little gangster. Let me tell you how this little gangster was. Freddy would eat his food, and Bear would have a tray over there. I had to feed them away from each other. And if Bear went to his own food like this, Freddy would do this. Like, you better not eat that food. And Bear would back away from his own food. 120-pound dog. He had her personality. He took out the Annalisa. He's just too nice. Anyway, one day, that little dog messed with Bear and came over and bit, tried to bite Bear as Bear was eating. And Bear just went, like, leave me alone, and just nicked him. And that little dog just flipped. He was bouncing. Then he took off running. And he ran up under a leaf like Jonah. And I went out there. I said, well, he messed with him one too many times, Aunt Lisa. Anyway, he ran under that leaf to be by himself so he could die. But he didn't die. He just had a broken jaw. Bear broke his jaw. Like, leave me alone. And So from then on, whenever we would put them together, in that, put Freddie, we kept him in a cage in case he went berserk again. And the bear would come by the cage and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, didn't mean not to mean you have you all wired up," because the jaw was wired. And Freddie would go, I told you all that story before. And so we had this little Swedish veterinary named Lammer, Mr. Lammer. And Lammer said, "You know, Mr. Jones, this little dog, he doesn't know he's little. And he's going to attack the big dog again once he gets well. So you're going to have to make a decision what you're going to do." So we got, you know, sold, gave him away to somebody else. And that was the end of that. Who did we give him to? Yeah, our cousin. So anyway, make a long story short, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to go lay up under a leaf somewhere. He wants you to be by yourself. He tries to separate you from the church when things don't go your way. And you got to know that this is there's nothing in the Bible that tells us about being lone rangers. If you find something in there, show it to me. Everything in the Bible is about inclusivity with the church, including one another's, right? Whosoever will, let them come. Being with one accord. It doesn't say anything about going off by yourself, except for Jesus when he had to think and get away from some folks. But other than that, God wants us to be together. Am I right? So these are the things. So we have to see that, don't let the devil deceive us and have us going around doing what we want to do. James 1:22 says that if you got to be a doer of the word or you deceive yourself. See, those demons will get you to deceive yourself. It tells us in Proverbs 18:1 that the man who isolates himself, he rages against wise wisdom. All wisdom he rages against. He's only interested in what his plans are. And that's how the devil wants to get us. But you cannot allow him to do that, you all. Okay? Now, somebody might hear this message, not understand how well-meaning church people can actually live their lives contrary to God's word. You can be a saved, born-again believer and get duped by the devil. It's important for us to know this, y'all. It takes humility, though, to recognize it. Because you can say, "Not me, not me, not me. Of course not me, it's you." Okay? You're the one if you're saying it can't happen to you, okay? So let me give you all a few examples of what it means with Scripture in proper context, so you'll know how to win at spiritual warfare. Let's look at this. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Verses 23 to 25. Pastor, can you read that one for us?
Hebrews 10, verses 23, 25 tell us, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching."
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you for that word. That's a good word. That's a good word. Okay, this text instructs us what? Not to waver when it comes to assembling ourselves.
Amen. Key points? We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. And we're to exhort and lift one another up and not tear each other down. Amen. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're thankful you tuned in today. Listen, if you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of Fighting to Finish, Winning at Spiritual Warfare with Pastor Joel. Until next time. Not the same.